The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name? Buried in cheers and applause? I think not. Questions. We get questions, and we love them. A listener named Adam just asked me one that warrants further consideration. Do I ever wish my daughters were sons? Well, my hip shot reaction was no. Especially not now that we live in an age where men are the new underclass. I'll circle back to that in a minute or two. Sure, I've done many things with my daughters that sons might have been more enthusiastic about. Fishing and shooting and oil changes. But all along the way, I've found my girls are really not all that particular about the activity. It's just an excuse to hang out with Dad. What always amuses them most is when something really pisses me off and I take it out on an inanimate object. Like the time one of those battery jump starters went dead on me when I really needed it, and I was so furious I flipped it into the air multiple times until it was in pieces on the pavement. They love shit like that, those Clark Griswold moments. Everybody has them. Elvis got pissed at his De Tomaso Pantera, and he put a bullet in the driveway at Graceland. It's now in a museum with the bullet hole. And back then, everybody laughed and said, hey, Elvis's car, his gun, his driveway, who gives a shit? Today, there would be a SWAT team, helicopters, half tracks, schools miles away on lockdown. Oh, don't we now love the word lockdown? You know, I'm going to do a show just on fucking lockdown. And there would be idiot TV reporters on scene, tongue-clucking about safety and the children, whether there are children involved in the story or not. Now, everything has to be investigated, reported on, parsed, and picked over, and so on. Time was, guys would just shake their head and say, hey, boys will be boys. Now, they want boys to be girls, don't they? We are relentlessly bombarded with memes and catchphrases and tweets about the patriarchy and the glass ceiling and the wage gap. And what about those things? Well, it's a hotly debated topic, and there are jillions of statistics on both sides of the argument, but all I know is what I see around me, and I see males on the receiving end of a lot of lies and bullshit. And females are born with public relations halos that are damn hard to dislodge or even tarnish. And through my daughter's experiences, what I see for them is doors flying open and opportunities leaping into their laps simply because they are female. Of course, I'm thrilled about that. But if I had a son, I'd be fucking furious. There is a White House Council on Women and Girls. There's a U.S. Agency for Development of Women. There's a Department of Agriculture program for women. There's the Office of Women's Health, the Office of Research on Women's Health, the National Institute of Women's Health. There's an Office on Violence Against Women. There's a Department of Labor Women's Bureau, a Small Business Administration Business Ownership Development Department, U.S. Department of State on International Women's Issues, Department of Veterans Affairs for Women Veterans. Why? Women are not the minority. They are a huge majority. And on this goes. The first time I really noticed this was when I read about the Office on Violence Against Women. I just can't get my mind around that one. Why isn't it simply the Office on Violence? But if they must single out some group for a special agency, why not the group that is most often victimized? Adolescents. Followed by men. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? But then you don't. It's the government, where the name of the game is to invent shit to keep your bureaucrat's job and your Cadillac benefits and make your nonsensical agency kinda sorta relevant. Right? The minority in college is men. Women comprise 56% of college students. Think about that number. If that were an election result, it would be a landslide. And this is not new. For more than 40 years, women have outnumbered men in college. And now in the labor force, women far outnumber men in white-collar jobs. You see any chicks out there digging ditches and riding jackhammers? Neither do I. The feminist movement has been rolling at full tilt for over half a century, and it often seems that now, women have achieved not a state of equality, but one of superiority. And when you get a generation or two of any group being told they are better than any other group, shit gets ugly. There are some women out there who have been told that they are simply better than men. And that is reinforced endlessly by Hollywood, isn't it? Men are drunks and boors and lazy and cheaters and dogs and violent and insensitive and on and on. And women are funny and smart and industrious and sexy and principled and strong and wise and holy. The truth is, people of either sex, we never say gender here, can be assholes. But even think about that. When is the last time you heard a woman called an asshole? But lots of them are assholes, same as guys. Yet for all this equality stuff, women still get not discriminated against, but preferential treatment in damn near everything, even stupid things like golf. I used to have to play golf. It was kind of a religion where I worked, and I came to hate it because you were expected to have a deal closed by the 18th hole. Just wrung any fun right out of it. So I wondered if they still have ladies' tees. That would be so politically incorrect, would it not? So discriminatory. So sexist. That's another word we don't use here. The word sexist is sexist, so it's self-canceling. So I googled ladies' tees, and they do indeed still exist, but somebody, a guy named, Brent Kelly, calls himself a golf journalist. Just wrote a scathing indictment of so-called ladies' tees. It was in some online site, you know, the kind that specializes in hard-hitting journalism with stories like Why Yawning is Contagious and Towns with Really Weird Names, you know, those Pulitzer-caliber stories. Brent's headline is The Ladies' Tees in Golf and Why They Shouldn't Be Called That. He says, quote, The average male golfer hits the ball farther than the average female golfer, which means that women are more likely to choose a set of tees that is more forward. Unquote. And just a skinny paragraph or two later, he says, Should they be called ladies' tees? Quote, No! Let's repeat, no! It's long past time to stop referring to those tees as the ladies' tees. It's a term we wish would disappear from golf. The term really isn't appropriate. The A word, appropriate. It's not appropriate anymore, he says, because, of course, not all women play from the ladies' tees. Hey, Brent, did you not say, quote, the average male golfer hits the ball farther than the average female golfer, unquote? Yes, you did. And everything you said after that was PC horseshit. But I really don't like golf. But it is, in a very simple way, illustrative of the bullshit going on. It's a ladies' tee, and it compensates for their weaker swings. But goddammit, don't call it that because we're fucking equal! We're fucking equal! We're fucking equal! As I said earlier, there has now been 50 years of propaganda circulating through the ether telling women that they are, in fact, not equal to but superior to men in every way, and some of them are believing it. And when that happens, when some asshole, male asshole or female asshole, believes he or she is better than another by virtue of their sex, we never say gender, that person will soon behave with insufferable arrogance. Case in point, and this will resonate more than golf tees, because really, who gives a shit about golf, but we all go to the supermarket. And there I was on a late November's evening picking up a handful of items for dinner, and my daughter, who was maybe 7, at the time, had stayed late at school practicing for a play. And once that rehearsal was over, it was over. She'd be alone in a parking lot in the dark at night. So there was absolutely no fucking way in hell I was going to be even a little bit late to pick her up. And I've got maybe 5 items for dinner in my shopping cart, and I head for the express lane, 15 items or less. And in front of me is this broad with a cart that is overflowing with stuff. It looked as if she was prepping for the apocalypse. There were not dozens, but well over 100 items on that wagon. It was a mound of groceries. And I look her over. Can you judge a book by its cover? Well, sometimes. Because she was in her late 30s and dressed like little Bo fucking Peep. She had on some kind of Bo Peep blouse with puff sleeves, Mary Janes on her feet with little white socks, and in one hand she's got her Starbucks Venti Macchiato, and in her other hand is her iPhone, and she's slowly unloading the contents of her cart onto the conveyor belt between sips of coffee and snippets of conversation on her phone. And in my mind's eye, I see my little daughter standing alone in a cold, dark parking lot. And I think, this isn't happening. So I interrupt aging Bo Peep and politely say, "Excuse me, this is an express lane, and you have a lot more than 15 items in that wagon." And she looks at me with a mixture of disbelief and rage, as if, "Where do you get the stones to even speak to me? I am a woman with a Starbucks and an iPhone." And she pastes a psycho smile of condescension on her face and says,
"Yeah? And what are you going to do about that?"
And I go right in her grill, nose to nose, and say, "You're not making me late to pick up my kid. Move your shit off that belt right now." And her eyes got wide. And she looks to the cashier, who was dumbfounded. And then Bo Peep cocks her arm with her Starbucks and shouts,
"I'll throw this coffee right in your fucking face!"
At that moment, all commerce ceased, and a silence fell over the area. Supercharged drama in a supermarket. Which is when I pull my cell phone and say, "Do it. You'll be in jail in 30 minutes or less." Bo Peep just blinked her over mascarad bloodshot eyes. I guess she was processing what I had said. And again, I urged her, "Do it. Throw that coffee." Then she stiff-arms her items off the conveyor belt and pushes the cart through to get on another line. Well, several people applauded, and as I paid for my few items, she unleashed a steady stream of loud invectives at the back of my head.
"You fucking cocksucker, I should have you killed, you piece of shit motherfucker,"
and so on and on and on. And as I grab the sack of groceries to leave, someone behind me taps me on the shoulder. I turn around and it's a woman who bore a remarkable resemblance to Tina Fey. And I said, "Yes?" And she says,
"You don't ever speak to a woman that way."
And aged Bo Peep is still on full throttle, cursing me out. And I look at Tina and say, "Did you see what happened? Do you hear her right now?" And Tina says,
"That doesn't matter. She's a woman."
And I said, "Yeah, but she's no lady. She's an asshole." I didn't hang around for Tina's reply. I didn't give a shit, because Tina was an asshole too. And I hustled out and was right on time for my daughter at school. And not long after, I had a nice dinner on the table for her. As you might imagine, I gave that encounter more than a bit of thought. And the simple conclusion was that both aging Bo Peep and Tina Fey look-alike were somehow under the impression that women and men are not equal, but rather women are better. Had some guy behaved like Bo Peep, there would have been hyperviolence and someone would have been taken out of that store on a gurney, No question about it. Because with men, there is an unwritten, unspoken code of words and actions that will, once enacted or verbalized, trigger violence. It's a line that men do not cross, ever, unless they're ready for a fight. And I wonder if, since that time, Bo Peep tried that same number, not on some dude on his way to pick up his daughter from school, but rather, oh, say some felon with a face full of jailhouse tattoos just paroled from Chino or Pelican Bay. And if she wound up with a shank between her ribs or her teeth dancing across the floor like chiclets, she'd get a questionnaire, maybe from the Office on Violence Against Women. And on that questionnaire, would there be a scintilla, even a whisper of a question asking if she was in any way responsible for instigating the violence that befell her? Probably not. After all, she's a woman. So am I glad to have daughters? Absolutely. Let their lives be a succession of one lady's tea after another. But if I had sons, I'd be pissed off and very worried for their future. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always a kick to be with you. As I mentioned last time, we're throttling back just a touch with slightly abbreviated episodes before we come roaring back in with the heavy artillery that may just include the Spumante Chronicles. So come hang with us each Tuesday, and if you like what you just heard, pop over to iTunes and drop 5 stars on us. If you really like what you heard, slide over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow. It's an exclusive club for people who know what time it is, with special rewards like signed books and bonus episodes only dojo members get to hear. Now, if you've got a problem, we've got a sensei who can help, so email us at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. And let me know what's bugging you. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram. It's all pretty much the same address, That Larry Show. And so, my friends, beware of aging Bo Peeps and Tina Fey lookalikes. They might be assholes. And no matter what, don't let them make you late for anything or anyone. I'll see you next Tuesday, right here, at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. And until that time, take no shit.